Begin the current daf Masech the Shabbos daf Lamed Alpha. Begin on the bottom line of Lamed Amid Beis, where the Gemara continues, brings a brisa, continuing the theme of the previous Gemara, which spoke about the contradiction in the Sefer Mishlei regarding if a person should answer a person according to his folly or not. And we said, when it comes to words of Torah, a person should always engage a person, even if he's speaking foolish. You shouldn't just discount him and disregard him; rather, you should engage him. And in this vein, the Gemara brings a brisa to contrast the differences between Hillel and Shammai, as it brings many such illustrations. As the Gemara will begin. A person should always be humble like Hillel. They should not be stern like Shammai. As the Gemara illustrates this, there was a story with two individuals, and we continue on to the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that they incited one the other. They made a bet. Amru, they said, whoever's going to go and provoke Hillel, he's going to get him, that he's going to get upset. Yitel Dal Meis, he'll take 400 zuz home as the pot. And that is because he was someone hard, obviously, to get angry. He was very humble. So says, I'll go ahead and I'll get him angry. I'm going to win the 400 zuz. So that day was Friday, it was Erev Shabbos. But Hillel Chof Bezrecha, and Hillel was washing his hair, he was getting ready for Shabbos. So Halach Vav Al Pesach Beis, so this guy went and in front of the house of Hillel. Mikan Hill. He says, who here is Hill? Who here is Hill? In other words, is there any Hill here? In other words, a very degrading terminology he's using for the prince, for the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. However, the Gemara says, Nis'at v'yatz l'krasi, Hill quickly went and he covered himself and they went out to greet the person. Amale b'ni ma'at mevakesh, my son, what are you looking for? Amale shailish yeshli lisha, I have a question to ask. So amale shal b'ni shal, ask my son, ask, no problem. So he says, Marishain Shabavlim Sagalgulis. He says, why is it that the heads of the Babylonians are so round? In other words, he asked him some type of foolish question to say, what is Erev Shabbos? I'm getting ready for Shabbos, I'm taking a shower, and I'm getting ready, and you ask me this foolish question? So Amalei B'ni Sha'ela Gadol Shalt, he says, my son, you asked a very good question. And the reason is B'nei She'en Lem Chayis, because they don't have skillful midwives, and therefore when they give birth, they come out a little bit round. So it says, Holach v'im tishach, he went and he waited an hour. Chazav ha'amah mikan hill, mikan, he came back around, he's walking around. Who here is Hill? Who here is Hill? Nis'at v'yos l'kras, again, Hill went and he got himself dressed, and he went out to greet the person. Amalei b'ni mat mevakesh, my son, what are you looking for? Amalei shayli yesh lishla, I have a question. So Amalei shal b'ni shal, my son, ask the question you have. So he says, b'mnei ma'ay name shal tamoidi in trutis. Why is that the eyes of the Talmudians that they're round? So Amalei b'ni shal gadol shal, you asked a very, very deep question. And the reason, b'nei shadarin b'na chaylis, because they live in where it's sandy terrain, and that is when the wind blows and then the sand comes into their eyes. And therefore, since they live there in such an area, which the geographical location made that, they, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it, that they should have their cracks should not be the same length as ours are. So because if it was the same, then the sand would come in. And that since they live in this sandy area, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, their eyes should be different, that their sockets should not be as the same as ours eyes as in the length. Rather, it should be rounded so that the sand should not be able to get into their eyes. So Halach v'him t'nshach, he went and he waited again a little bit. Chazavama mikan hill again. Hill probably just got right back into the shower, and he started screaming again. Who here is Hill? Who here is Hill? Nisatav yatzal kras again. He got himself dressed, and he came out to greet him. Amalei b'ni ma'at mevakesh, my son, what are you looking for? Amalei shayli yesh lishla, I have a question to ask. Amalei shal b'ni shal, ask my son. So he says, b'mnei ma'regleim shalafrikiim rechavis. Why is it that the legs, the feet of the Africans are very wide, and that is why are they wider than everyone else? So Amalei b'ni shayli gadol shal, says, my son, you asked a very big question. And the reason they should darn be bitzei hamayim because they live in the swampland, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that their legs should be wider so that they should not sink into the swampland. And Rashi brings a different pshat from his Rebbeim that since they live amongst the swampland, so therefore they walk barefoot because their shoes would get ruined. So therefore their feet, so to speak, flatten out, and that is because shoes generally hold the structure and the form of the feet. And however, here where they walked without shoes, so therefore their feet got very wide. So Amalei, so the guy, so he's not getting anywhere. Sha'ilas harbe yeshli lishal. Umisyar nisha metichas, he wanted to get to him. He says, I have many such questions, but I'm afraid you're going to get angry. So it says, Nis'atav yosh lefon of that hill went and he covered himself and he sat in front of him. Amalei kol sha'ilas sheyesh lecha lishal shal. All the questions you have to ask, don't worry, you could ask them. Again, this is Erev Shabbos and he's getting ready, he's taking a shower. Amalei atuhu hill shakarin oischa nasi Yisrael. He wanted to get him upset. He says, you're the hill that they call the prince in Klai. So Amalei hen, he says, yes. Amalim atahu loyir become ischa b'yisrael. If you're the one, there shouldn't be many like you in Klal Yisrael. Amalim b'nei ma, why you say that, my son? Amalim, so he said to him, neshavadati al yotcha dal mezuz, because of you, I lost 400 zuz, I can't get you upset. Amalim, so he'll respond to him and he says the following lesson. You should be vigilant in your disposition, in your manner. Kedai hu hil. It's worth. Hil is worth himself. Shetaover al yodoi dalad meizuz. That because of him, 400 zuz should be lost. Vidalad meizuz and another 400 zuz. Vehil lo yakpan. Hil shouldn't get upset. In other words, that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's worthy that you should lose 800 zuz and not me get upset, because with anger, a person loses everything, and therefore I'm not going to get upset. Another story that Gemara brings to illustrate the anivus, the humility of Hill, says, Tarnabon, Maisa benachri echad shabolaf ne shamai. There was this Gentile that came in front of Shammai. Amalei kamatayis, how many tyrus, how many laws that were given to Klai Yisrael do you have? Amalei shtayim, there are two tyrus. Says, Tarnabon, Shabik Sabah, Tarnabon, Shabik Sabah. There's the written law, and there's the oral law. So he said, Amalei Shabik Sabah, Nima Mincha. Vishabapah, Nima Mincha. He says, regarding the written law, I believe you. I know about Maimon HaSinai, that there was 600,000 males between 20 and 60. It's the only documented type of a thing that ever happened. There's no other nation that ever says that. That I believe you. However, regarding Tarshabapah, I don't believe you. The Rabbana and the rabbis, they came ahead, they made these things up. They forged things. That I don't believe, that there's, so to speak, a whole Torah about different things that we have to keep. What's written is written. So he says, Geironi Almanasha Talamadeinu Tarshabik Sab. Convert me that you'll teach me the written law, but I don't care about the oral law. So it says, Garbai Bahitziya bin Nazif. He got upset at him and he threw him out disapprovingly. And that is because it says in the Braisa that if someone's coming to accept upon himself the words of the Talmid Chacham besides one thing, and similarly regarding a ger that's coming to convert, and he wants to be makabel the whole Torah besides one thing, but not makabel, we don't accept him, as it says in Masechet Bechayrus. So therefore, God said, go out, you can't become a convert for only taking the written law, not the oral law. So the Gemara says, Bolaf Nehil, he came in front of the hill, Gairan, he converted him. And that is because Hill relied on his wisdom that at the end he's going to accustom him that he will accept upon himself the whole Torah. Because it's not like similar to the halacha that was learned that you cannot be Megair, convert an individual if he's not accepting one thing of Torah. Because this person wasn't a kofer in Torah Shabbat Peh. He did not deny Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the people that deny, they really believe. They just have their own perversions and their old taivas that they want to have. And therefore, this person wasn't like that. He was a seeker of truth. He just didn't believe that it was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. He said, I don't understand that, and that I do understand. However, Hill was confident after he would teach him that he would rely on it. In other words, he didn't have any bias that didn't allow him, so to speak, a cognitive dissonance to allow him to accept the Torah. So therefore, he will really come around because he'll show him the truth. The people that are the kaifim are the ones that know the truth. However, they don't want to because they're insecure and they're not confident about themselves. So he did as follows. He says, Yei mekama omalei Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal. So he was teaching him the Torah Shabbat Kesef. That's the only thing he wanted to know. So he taught him the order of Aleph, then comes Beis, then comes Gimel, then Dal. Lamochar apachle. Then the following day, he taught him in reverse. He taught him, first comes Tav, then comes Shin, then comes Resh, then comes Kaf. So amalei, v'ha etmo lo yamrit lihachi. Didn't you tell me yesterday the exact opposite? So amalei, lavalai didika samcha. So aren't you relying on me to teach you what was the order of the Aleph, Beis, that you could even understand the words of Torah Shabbat Kesef? So rely on me also regarding the oral law. And that is because how do you know what's an aleph, what's a beis? Rather, anything that I taught you, that's how you know. And you're relying on me. So regarding the Dvarim Shabbat Peh, you also have to rely on me. So therefore, you understand that there has to be an oral tradition, because who says what's anything in the Torah? Who knows what's an esterk, what's a chazer? No one knows anything. There has to be an oral translation, so to speak, a messiah that's given over to understand the Torah Shabbat Kesef. That's the proof that there's a Torah Shabbat Peh, because or else it doesn't make sense. And that's the idea that, the so to speak, the Amunah, Maimon Har Sinai, is the fundamental principle that, so to speak, gives truth to the Torah Shabbat Peh, because or else, how can you get karas for not keeping Shabbos? What am I supposed to do? What's considered malacha? What's not? Obviously, we have to rely on our teachers, so that's the proof that there is an oral law, a Torah Shabbat Peh, too, and that's why he was Megair him, because he saw that he'll understand that, of course, there has to be a Torah Shabbat Peh. You can't just have a Torah Shabbat Kesef. So I'm going to bring another story to illustrate the differences between the humility of Hill and the sternness of Shammai. Shuv Ma'isa Benachri Echad, there was a third story where the Gentile Shabbolef and Shammai came in front of Shammai. Amalei Geironi Amanas Shlamdeni Kol HaTorah Kulah K'shani Omed Al Regel Achas. I want you to convert me, but on one condition, that you'll teach me the entire Torah when I'm standing on one foot. So he threw him out, he pushed him away with the ruler that was in his hand. And that is, what are you talking about, the whole Torah on one foot? You know what? I learned all my life, I don't know even a drop in the bucket. So Bolaf Nehil Gari, but he came from the hill and he converted him. Says, what's hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Zuhi Kala Torah Kul, that is really the entire Torah. V'idach, and the rest, Pirushahu, it's just a commentary for that. And that is, as Rashi explains, the mitzvah of ahavta l'reicha kamaycha, to love your friend, but don't do to your friend what you wouldn't want unto you, is, as a pasuk in Mishlei says, that your friend and the friend of your father don't forsake. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't transgress Hashem's words. What would be hateful to you, that someone wouldn't keep the words that you tell him to do. So Hashem's telling you something to do, you also shouldn't do, because there's a relationship. There's a communication, there's a, so to speak, a relation between you and Hashem. And also it means your friend itself, which is theft and robbery and niyuf and all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. They either benod l'makom el machaberi, both of them are considered, so to speak, your friend. Don't do what would be hateful to you. Understand this relationship that you have between the world, between yourself, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it's this one concept, and the whole entire Torah is really a commentary. The rest of the words of Torah is an explanation for this. To know now what is hated, now you have to learn. You have to learn what your friends don't like, Lashon Hara, theft. You have to understand that principle, the relating principle between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you and the world. But it's all based on this one fundamental principle. So now you know the whole Torah. Now you just have to know how to do it. Zil Gemar says, go ahead and now go ahead and learn it. Now the Gemara brings the third episode. Shuv Ma'isa ben Achayachet, again there was a story with one Gentile. Shaya Iver Achayi Bes Medrash, he was going and he was walking behind the Bes Medrash. V'shama Kol Seifer Shayim, and he heard the voice of a teacher of children that was saying the following pasuk. Says in the parasha, V'eila HaBagadim Ashayasa, that these are the clothing that they should make. Chayshin V'eifoid, the breastplate and the eifoid. So Amar Halol L'mi, he came to the Bes Medrash, who is this, these beautiful clothing made for? Amaloy the Kohen Gadol, that's for the Kohen Gadol. Amar Oisa Nachem Asma, so the Gentile said to himself, Eilich Vizgayer, Bishvil Shesim Muni Kohen Gadol, I'm going to go and convert so that they should make me the Kohen Gadol. I wouldn't mind having this type of clothing. So Bolifni Shammai, he came in from the Shammai, Amaloy Geironi Amanasha Tismini Kohen Gadol, convert me on the condition that they'll make me the Kohen Gadol. Dachvei Bamas Abin Shabin, he pushed him out with the ruler that was in his hand. Bolifni Hill Gary, he came in from the hill and he converted him. So Amalei, Kulum Amidin Melech Elamisha Yedeh Tachsis Amachas Ahil, said to him, yeah, we'll make you the Kohen Gadol. But do they ever make a king without him knowing the ceremonies of royalty? Lech Lamay Tachsis Amachas, go ahead and learn the ceremonies of royalty. In other words, you want to become Kohen Gadol, you got to know all the things that they have to know in the Torah and the Mitzvahs. So Halach V'Kohen, he went to him and he was reading in the Chumash. Kimin Shagi, once he reached the Pasuk that says, V'Hazar HaKarav Yumas, that the stranger that will come close to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is what the Kohen Gadol did, he'll die. So Amalei, so he said to his teacher, Mikrazel Minema, who is this pasuk said about? So Amalei, Afil al David Melech Yisrael, even regarding David, the king of Israel, he is considered a stranger. If he would come to do that avodah, he would die. So Nasa Oisa Ger Kalvachem Ba'atzma, so the convert made a Kalvachem regarding himself. Umay Yisrael Shenikr Ban Lamakum, if regarding Kalali, so that they're called the children of Hashem. And because of the love that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Klai, so he called them my son, my firstborn Israel. And still, and still says that the stranger that will come close to do that will die. And he referred to himself regarding a lightweight, so to speak, convert that comes with his staff and his traveling bag. Definitely he can't go ahead and become the Kohen Gadol and do that Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So he came in from the Shammai. Omli klum roa ni li is Kohen Gadol. Am I fitting to be a Kohen Gadol? Why don't you tell me? You just pushed me out. I can't be a Kohen Gadol anyway. Balik sebater v'azar karav yumas. Says the stranger that does that void will die. Over Bolif ne hill. Now he came from the hill. This after he already converted. Omle an vason hill. Humble one hill. Yunuchalach brachas al roishcha. Blessings should be placed and heaped upon your head. That you made me come close under the wings of the divine presence. And that is, of course, if you would have told me I can't be a Kohen Gadol, I wouldn't become a convert. But since you saw that I had this inspiration, this spirituality, you were magari me, and that you'll see on my own that I can become a Kohen Gadol, and now because of you, I'm living the life of a Jew, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara says, L'yam nizdav gushlosh l'makam echad. At one point in time, these three different individuals that were the participants in these stories, these three different converts came into one place. So they all said, Kaptenusa shal Shammai big shal atardenu. The sternness of Shammai attempted to banish us min ha'olam, from the world. In other words, from the world of Torah. And v'senusa shal hil kervoni tachas kam v'shchenu. But the humility, the humbleness of Hill, that's what brought us closer under the wings of the Shechen. And because of him, now we're living, Baruch Hashem, a life of a Jew, and we have the Lehisanag al Hashem, we're getting the greatest delight that we would never have had if we would have lived a Gentile life. So now the Gemara had mentioned at the last pasuk of Kehelis in the previous daf regarding the contradiction that there is regarding the Pesukim of Kehelis, and it ended off saying that because it ended with the words of Torah, which was a reference that that kol adam, what's the whole person, is kiyam liyiras lakim, just to fear Hashem. So the Gemara continues on that theme of yiras Hashem, that that's the most important thing. Amar Shlokesh Maidach said, what's the understanding of the pasuk in Yeshaya that says v'hoya emunasitecha, that it will be the stability of your time, chayin Yeshua is the strength of salvations, chachmas v'das v'gaimer, that is wisdom and knowledge, and as the pasuk ends over there, yiras Hashem hiyitzari, that the fear of God is in his storehouse. So what's the understanding of this pasuk? Emunasitecha chayin Yeshua is chachmas v'das. So the Gemara explains that each thing refers to something else, and we'll see that Yiras Hashem will be the most important of all these things. Emunas, stability, Zeh Seid Zeram, that's a reference to the first Seida of the Mishnayis, of Shas, which has six different compartments, which is, acronym is Zman Nakat, grabbing time. And that is, the first one is Zeram. Seida of Zeram is that's the one that talks about planting and all the different laws related to agriculture. Why is that called Emuna? Because it's on the faithfulness of man that we rely that he should take off his maestras, his tent and his tithes properly. So we rely on him regarding that. Taisus gives a different pshat than the Yashami, that the one who plants agriculture, he has to believe in the God of the world that he can plant and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it come forth. So that's why it's called Zerayim. Zerayim is called Emunah. Second Seder in the Mishnayis is Itecha, your time. Zeh Seder Moed, that's a reference to the Seder of Moed, which obviously means time, which is talking about the different Yom Tovim that comes at different times. Chaisin, strength, Zeh Seder Nashim. That's a reference to the Seder of Nashim, which talks about the halachas regarding women, and that is regarding Kedushin, Gittin, Yavamas, and that's Chaisin is a terminology that refers to Yarshin, to inheritors. And that only comes through women, that through a wife, a person could have someone that inherits him. That's why it's called Chaisin, the strength, which is a reference also, it's a word that means inheritors. That's why that's a reference to Seder Nashim. The fourth one is Yeshua's salvation. Zeh Seder Nezikin, that's a reference to the order of the tractate of the order of the tractates of Nezikin of regarding tort laws and damages. And that's because it saves a person. That is, if he's careful to stay away from damages and from owing people money and being liable, that will save him from harm. So that's why it's called Seder Nezikin, it's called Yeshua's salvation. Chochmas, wisdom, Zeh Seder Kachem, that's a reference to the Seder of Kachem. And Das, and knowledge, Zeh Seder Taras, that's a reference to the Seder of Taras. And that is Das, which is knowledge, is, so to speak, a higher level than Chachma, than wisdom. And that's Taras over Kachem, that's the order. And still, Vafalachin, still in spite of all these things about someone learning Shas, going through all these different Shisha Sidra Mishnah, of these three different orders, Vafalachin, the pasuk ends, Yiras Hashem here, sorry. That the fear of Hashem is in his storehouse. And that's the main thing, that's the most important thing in Hashem's eyes, to put in his storehouse, to make his most precious commodity that he's hiding in his safe. What is that? That's Yiras Hashem. It's more important than learning the entire Shas. Now the Gemara brings a different pshat in that pasuk. Amar Rava, that these six ideas of Emunas, Itecha, Chais, Yeshua, Chacham, Das, refers to six different questions that are asked the first thing when the person comes up after 120 for his judgment day, that they ask him these six questions. Amar Rava, b'shosh machnisin adam ladin, when they bring a person into his judgment, his final judgment, Amar Lei, they say to him, based on this pasuk, these six questions. Nesata v'nesata b'muna, did you conduct your business faithfully? That's the word b'muna, that's the first question they ask him. The second question is, kavati itim later, did you designate different times to learn Torah? That's the second one of itecha. And that's because a person has to be involved in Derech Eretz, he has to work for it, he has to make a parnasa. As it says, it means Derech Eretz, ain't Torah. If you don't have money, you don't have finances, you definitely can't learn with Menuch Sadas, you won't be able to learn properly. However, because of that, you have to designate different times to learn Torah, a set amount of time every single day, that because or else you'll be busy with other things. There's always things to be busy with work and with family, so you always have to designate certain times. Third question is, Asakta Bepir V'ribya, did you engage in procreation and having children? That's the next one of Chesin, as we said, that's a reference to inheritors. The fourth question is Tzipisa LiYeshua. Did you hope for the salvation that Mashiach will come and that things will turn out okay? That's the fourth one of Yeshua. The fifth one is Pelpalta B'Chachma. Did you delve into the wisdom of the Torah? And the sixth one is and that's Chachma. And the sixth one of Das as Hivanta Dav Metech Dav. Did you understand something from something else? Did you take it to the next level, to the deeper depths of what the understanding is? That's Das. And still, Vafalahachi Iyiras Hashem Hiyaritzari in. And still, in spite of all these six questions, which are the first six questions they ask him regarding what he did on this world, if he had the fear of Hashem as his storehouse, then yes, he'll have a favorable outcome. Eloi, Eloi, but if not, if he could have done all these things, but if he didn't have Yiras Hashem, didn't have true fear and awe of God, of knowing what it means that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, then he won't have a favorable outcome. As the Gemara brings, Mashallah Adam, Sha'amal Shlucha, this could be analogous to a person that tells to his agent, Halali Kurchit and Laliya, bring for me up a kur, a certain measurement of wheat, up to the attic. In other words, to store there. Halach v'halei went and he brought it up to the attic for him. So Amalei raftali behen kav chumtin. He asked him, "Did you mix in for me a certain measurement of chumtin, which is a type of salty earth, which is so to speak a preservative that keeps the fruits from getting wormy, from getting spoiled?" So Amalei laughed, "No, I didn't mix that in." So Amalei mutiv amlohelis. He said, "It would have been better if you wouldn't have brought it up because I didn't gain anything. I understand you did for me what I asked from you, but it's not gonna last. It has to have this preservative." Same thing over here. These six questions, which are the most important things that a person has to do in this world, that's what I'm telling you to do. But if you don't have the preservative, you don't have Yiras Hashem, so all of it is missing. It's not going to last. And if it better, you wouldn't have done it because it's not gonna have a kiyum anyway. So related to this halacha regarding that we said that you need to have this preservative for the wheat, so the Gemara brings a related halacha, the Tanabei Bishmal. Ma'arav adam kav chumtin bekurshal tvuah ve'ena chayish. A person can mix in a certain amount of this chumtin, of this salty earth, in a large kur of produce, and he doesn't have to be concerned that he's going to be selling it all in the, so to speak, the price of the weight of wheat. That's not considered, I know that, so to speak, you're jipping him, that you're not giving him, so to speak, all of it wheat, you're putting in some of this preservative, because since that's necessary, it's a shmir for it, it preserves it, so therefore, it's not considered as if you're stealing from him, it's necessary ingredient to preserve the wheat. More continues now on the theme of Yiras Hashem, of having fear of God. Amar Rav Rav Huna, kol odm shiyesh bei Torah, that any person that has in himself a Torah, and we continue on to Amud Beis, the aim by Yiras Shemayim, but he does not have the fear of God. So he's similar to this treasurer that they gave him the keys to the inside, but they didn't give him the keys to the outside. And that is, Yiras Shemayim can be compared to the keys to the outside gates, because only through Yiras Shemayim can you come to the inside gates. So too, if someone's a Yiras Shemayim, he has, so to speak, this fear and this awe and, so to speak, the importance, he understands, to watch and to keep the words of Torah. And if not, he doesn't really care about the Torah. So therefore, this person, although he's a Ben Torah, if he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, it's not really anything. He doesn't even really have the keys to get the Torah. He does not really even accessing. It's not doing anything for him to change him as a person because he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim. As the Gemara says, Bahai Ayil, how can he enter? In other words, with what door is he getting into the inner gates, which is what the importance of Torah is, if he can't even get in through the outer gates, he doesn't have the key to the, so to speak, he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, so he can't even get to the gates of Torah. The Gemara brings something similar to this. The Machrez Rabbiane would announce, Chaval al deles le darta, woe to the person that doesn't have a courtyard, vitar le darta of it, but yet the gates for the courtyard he's making. And that is, so to speak, first you have to get Yiras Shemayim to get into Torah, but he was saying the next level. So to speak, this person is making the gate for the courtyard, which is what Torah is, but the tachlis of Torah is Yiras Hashem, the fear of God, to live in that, so to speak, that state of mind. Shivis Hashem negdei zemer, that's the most important thing about understanding that everything is Hashem, and that all everything else is just illusion. So he says, this person who's learning Torah, he made the gate, but he doesn't have the courtyard, he doesn't have anything inside. So obviously the tachlis is Yiras Hashem, and therefore this person, that if he has Torah without that, he's not doing anything. Related to this, the Gemara says, "Yehuda leibara Kadosh Baruch Hu Salami." The only thing, the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu made this world is El Kadesh Yom Lefanu. Only that people should fear Him, but it doesn't mean fear in childish way. It means to say, have an understanding and awe of wow of what the world is. To say, I see Hashem everywhere. Like it says in the pasuk, "Valikim Asish Yom Lefanu." Hashem made the world that they should stand in awe from Him, and that's the most important thing. So Gemara brings a story related to this. The Reb Simon, Reb Elazar, Habi Yasu, they were sitting. Chalav Yozel Reb Yaakov Bar Yacha, that this Reb Yaakov Bar Yacha was walked by. So Amli Chad L'Chaveri Nikim Mekamei. So one says, let's stand up for him. You know, the Gaber Dochel Chatoini. He's a man that has the fear of sin. It's a greatness. He understands what it is. He understands it's an atom bomb. Who wants to do an Averi? It's something that's negative. It's smell. It's foul. It's putrid. It's something bad. He has that. He understands that. So let's stand up for him. He's a great person. So the other one said, no, let's stand up for him because he's a big Talmud Chacham. So it says, I told you that the reason why we should stand up for him because he's someone that has this fear of sin. And you tell me we should stand up for him because he's Talmud Chacham. You're diminishing from the praise of him. It's much greater to be someone that has the fear of sin than someone that's a Talmud Chacham. As we said, that's the idea that Yerushalayim, Yiras Hashem, Kizeh Kol Adam, that's the main thing of a person, is to understand the significance of God everywhere around him. And that's what true Yerushalayim really means. So the Gemara says that related to this story, Tistayim Rebbe Elazar Hu Da'amar De'Gebed Echad Chatoin Hu. It could be conclusive that Rebbe Elazar was the one that said that let's stand up for him because he's a man that has the fear of sin. And that was the greater praise. Da'amar B'yechin Mishum Rebbe Elazar, as Rebbe Elazar's statement himself said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have anything in this world besides the fear of God. In other words, everything else everyone's doing is Hashem's really doing it. And it just seems like we're doing it. But the only thing that true Bechir that we have is Yerushalayim, is the fear of God. And that's the only thing Hashem has. Shneim, like it says in the Pasuk, Va'at Yisrael, and now Kla Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mo Hashem Lekecha Shalemech, what is Hashem asking from you? There's only one thing, Kim Liyir of Agaymer, only to fear Him. And that's the only thing Hashem has. There's the only thing we can, so to speak, contribute. And it says in the Pasuk in Eiv, V'yemel Adam, and he said to man, Hein Yiras Hashem, this thing about Yiras Hashem, Hi Chachma B'Gayim, this is wisdom. And as Shekin Baloshin Yevani, Karin La'achas Hen, and that is because in the Greek language, they call something that's one, they use the word Hen. And that is saying that it's one, it's the only thing in the world. When he said in Eiv that Hein Yiras Hashem, it means the only one thing is the fear of God. That's the only wisdom, the only smart thing in the world is to have fear of God. This time, so it's determined that it was Rebbe Elazar that said, let's stand up for him because he's a man that fears sin, and not the one that said that let's stand up for him because he's Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara resumes the discussion regarding the contradictions that there were in Kehelis. Darish Rav Ula of Ula, Darish, and he lectured, he says, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk in Kehelis, Al Tirsha Harba B'Gemara, do not be excessively wicked. What does that mean? It's only a lot, or only excessively I shouldn't be wicked. But a little bit, he could be wicked. What does that mean? These are the inconsistencies in the Pesukim and Kehelas. So he says, no, the understanding is, Ela Misha Ochal Shum, someone that ate garlic. And now his breath smells. Now he should go back and eat more garlic. And now his breath should smell even more. And that is what he was answering was that the Pesuk was saying that if you're a little bit evil, don't go ahead and be Tirsha Harba. Don't go ahead and now be excessively evil. Because someone that ate garlic and his breath smells a little bit for his friends, so now what, he's going to go ahead and eat more garlic so that his breath should smell even more for even a longer period of time? In other words, don't get down on yourself. Don't become depressed because you did an aver. Don't be Tirsha Harba. You did something wrong, fine. But don't go ahead and now go ahead and eat more garlic so that it's going to make it worse even for a longer period of time. Similarly, the Gemara brings the Darish Rav Bar Avula, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki in chad tzuvois l'maisam, that because there's no ties that bind upon their death, Ubari ulam, and their strength is robust. What does that mean? So the Gemara gives the following drasha. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo'idayin l'rishom, She'in charedin v'atsevin v'yem misa. It's not even enough for the wicked ones that they're not fearful and forlorn because of the day of death, which that's the acronym of Chartzuvais, which is Charedim, that they're not fearful, and Atzuvais, it's Atzeven, that they're not forlorn, they're not afraid, they're not fearful from the day of death, that's Lamoisam. Elosh, not only that they're not afraid, Elosh Libam Bari Lehen Kulam, and their heart is robust, like a Ulam, like a wide hole. V'hayinu d'amar Rabbah, that's what Rabbah says. Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean? Another Pasuk in Tehillim, Zer Darkam, this is their path. Kesa lamay, this is their folly. What does that mean? That yoydim rishom shadak lamisa, this is their path, that they know their path is for death. However, although they know they're going to, so to speak, to Gehenna, they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know it's not going to be good for them. They have that feeling. But v'yeshlam chelav akislam, but they have fat, so to speak, on their loins. In other words, it's their tivus, so to speak, their insecurities that's holding them back. As it says the Pesukim before, that says, Kirbim b'seim ul'olam, that is their burial, they know is coming. However, it says, Zedarkim kesa lama, in other words, to say that they know this is their path, they know they're walking to the grave, to so to speak, to eternal damnation. However, that's kesa lama, that's the word of kaloyais, of that their kidneys, which is the seed of so to speak, of intuition, of understanding, is covered over from, so to speak, from contemplating their end, so to speak, because they don't feel confident enough. They feel insecure, and therefore that's they run away, so to speak, through the escape of tivus and all the different things. Although they know the truth cognitively, but emotionally they can't handle that, and therefore they go towards marching towards their grave. So he said further, Shematem is Shikrihim, and maybe you're going to say that really they forgot about it, they don't really know about the day of death. If they knew, they would say, oh, then I would go ahead and do something good. Tamalema, that the Pasuk ends, it said, Vachreim, and their end, Befiim Yirtzusela, that they always speak soothingly about it. In other words, they know about the day of death. This is a big deal, whatever, it's not true, I don't believe in it. And truth, really, they know about it, but so to speak, they don't feel strong enough, and that's why they go and they walk. They're not chared, not saving, and their heart is robust. They go ahead as if confident, as if nothing's going to happen, when in truth, they really know that it's not going to be boding well for them. Now the Gemara goes back and resumes the discussion in the Mishnah that said, one of the cases of the Mishnah that said that when it's, so to speak, someone's putting out the candle because he, so to speak, is afraid the lamp is going to get ruined. So then the Tanakhama said that the person is liable. And Biyesi said that all the cases of the Mishnah, a person is exempt, besides the case of the psila of the wick. If he's putting it out to preserve the wick, then he's going to be chayv, but all the other cases are going to be potter. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi commands severely. So who's Rabbi Yossi like? Because we already explained that the Tanna of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, that he says regarding something that's a melacha, she'enet tzrich l'gufa, that's not necessary, still you're liable, and therefore all the cases when you want to preserve the lamp or the candle or the oil, although it's not necessary for it itself, but you're going to be liable, but versus the case of the Reshta, which were cases of sakonis nefashas, so there you're allowed to put out a candle, therefore you're going to be patra, and it's even mutter, it's permitted. But Rabbi Yossi says everything is permitted, and therefore, the only case he says was for the wick, who is he, or what's his opinion? And that is Ikri Rabbi Yehuda Svirulei, if he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda says that a malacha, she'en tzrich l'guva, that a malacha, a labor of Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas, that if it's done not for its own thing, it's done, so to speak, to alleviate something else, still Rabbi Yehuda holds a person as chayev, so even other the cases of the seifa, a person should also be chayev when he's doing it, so to speak, for the oil or for the lamp. Why does he say that Yepata, you should be chayv in there also? And Vikri B'Shimon Sevilin, if he holds like B'Shimon, that says a malacha she'en tzrich l'gufa, that a labor that's not necessary for the goal itself, but rather for something else, that there Yepata, according to B'Shimon, so P'sila Nami Lifter, so then even in the case of the wick, he should also be Pater. And that is because if he's doing it because he's concerned about the wick, that's also not a malacha tzrich l'gufa, because the malacha is the extinguishing. And he doesn't need the extinguishing when he wants to preserve the wick, because if it was never lit in the first place, that would have been even better for him. So therefore, he doesn't want, so to speak, the extinguishing as itself, that, so to speak, this is a productive goal that he needs. He just doesn't want it lit. So therefore, that's a malacha that's not tzarech l'gufa. So therefore, if he held a grip shimon, even the case of the wick should be potter. So therefore, the Gemara says, Oma ula lo'olim k'rebi hudis, really. Just like the Tanakama, he holds like k'rebi huda. However, if that's the case, why is he potter in all the other cases when he wants to preserve the oil or when he wants to preserve the lamp? You should be chayv in those cases also, as the Tanakhama says. However, regarding the malacha of demolition, which is one of the 39 malachas, he holds that that which is a destructive act is only considered a malacha only if it's with the intent to go ahead and to rebuild it only in its place where it's being destroyed. However, but if it's being destroyed, so it's demolished, to so to speak, rebuild it in a different place, that will not be considered the malacha of Saisa. And that is, and in truth, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that regarding the aspect of malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa, for that itself, you would not be potter. As the Tanakhama says, so therefore, if you would take and put out the candle so that you could preserve the oil, although you don't need the extinguishing for that itself, it's being done for a different productive purpose, and so therefore, it's not necessary for the guf itself, that would still be machai of a person, because you need it for something else. And that would be considered a malachas machshabas, that it's a malacha with intent. And therefore, when you're extinguishing it because you're concerned about the oil of the lamp, that would make a person liable. So why does Rabbi Yossi say that the person's potter in those cases? That's for a different halacha. That's regarding the halacha, regarding when someone demolishes something, the malacha of Saiser, he's doing it to rebuild it, it has to be for the rebuilding it in its place. And that is as follows. Anything that's mekalkal on Shabbos, that's a destructive act on Shabbos, is potter, is exempt. Because that's not what's called a malachas machshavas, to be considered a malacha that arises. It has to be a malacha with intent, with productivity, with a constructive purpose. And this that it says in the Mishnah, that regarding all the different avos malachas, that a person is chayev on, it says that you're liable even for seisa when you're destroying, demolishing a building. That's only destroying it to build it in that place. And that is that he can't build it only if he first destroys it. So therefore, that's not considered kilka, that's not considered a destructive act, because it's a productive act, it's so to speak paving the way so that he can rebuild it. But Rabbi Yossi holds that if in the place where you demolished it, that's where you're going to head and rebuild it, so that is where we made the person liable and chayev for stira. But if not. And therefore, extinguishing is similar to demolishing. And same thing goes with the malach of kareh, of ripping, which is similar to the case of demolishing also. And that's why we said in the Mishnah that Hakariyah Manas Litvah, someone rips something, a garment, to go ahead and to re-sew it, so to speak, he has to rip it first to be able to sew it. Similarly, regarding the Malach of Moichik, of erasing, that we learned that if he's only Chayiv, if he's doing it with intention to go ahead now to write something in the place where he erased, all of them are like Seiser. And therefore, regarding the wick, where he's concerned about it, is only that he should be able to light it. And that is, he's extinguishing it so that he could relight it. That's in the place where it is. In other words, the place of the extinguishing is the wick. But if he's doing it because he's concerned about the lamp or the oil, but he's not concerned about, he's not doing it to preserve the wick, so, and that is, he doesn't care if he throws away the wick as long as he has the oil or the lamp, so then even if he needs the oil to light a different wick with it, that's considered a different place, because it's not the place of where the extinguishing is. That's not Seisa Manas Libnois Bimkaimai, because the extinguishing and the reigniting is not in the oil and it's not in the lamp, rather it's in the wick. That's considered Bimkaimai. So therefore it's not possible to have this, so to speak, this demolishing and the building in the only, and the only way you could have it is in the wick. And therefore, since his machshava at the end is not to go ahead and relight it with this wick, so again, there's not going to be bin b'makom stira if it's to, so to speak, for the oil or for the lamp. And therefore, that's what he said, that the only case that you're going to be liable for is the wick, because that's seisa manas libnis. And I, the other cases, you should be chayiv atz malacha shein sich legufa, but you're going to be missing an integral part of the stira manas libnis you don't have by the oil and the lamp. And therefore, that won't be included in the Malach of Mechaba, because it's not Malach Haba to relight it in the place, because the place, again, is not the oil and the lamp, it is the wick. And this, that in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi said that Shu'oysa Pechem, the reason why you're liable on the case of the wick is because you make it into charcoal, that's because it was made originally into charcoal, and that is, it's now fit to go ahead and to be ignited in that place. So now it has Binyan B'Makom Stira, that because you could relight it in that place, that's the rebuilding, so to speak, of where it was extinguished. That's what he means with Neshu Asad Pacham. In other words, making in the charcoal is not the reason why you're chayiv. You're chayiv because, so to speak, you're doing a stira, you're doing an extinguishing. And that's because now you're going to be able to relight it in the same place because it's a pechem, it's a charcoal, and you can relight it there. That's why you're chayiv. But it's not that aspect that's being mechayiv the person. It's the old malacha shein tzrich legufa that you're chayiv for. But again, it has to be that not only that you're destroying, but that you can rebuild it in the same place, which only applies to wick and not to all the other things. However, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbah said to him, Mechti, Kol malachas yafin lo mimishka. All the malachas of Shabbos, the 39 categories of forbidden labor on Shabbos, we learn that from the Mishka. There, when they would deconstruct the Mishkan, which is where we learned Malachas from, it was to rebuild it in a different place. And that is because they would go ahead and deconstruct the Mishkan and travel somewhere and then rebuild it somewhere else. So how can you say we learn up Stira has to be only if you rebuild it in the same place? And from the Mishkan where we learn up Stira from, which was demolishing the building and then putting it back together again, was in a different place. So Amalei Shani Hasam, the Mishkan was different. It was really considered Bimkoimet. Because Kivin the Chassidus, since it says in the Pasuk, Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu, that through the mouth, through the word of Hashem, that was their encampment, that was Kaseis HaManas Libnes Bimkoimet Dami. That was really, in a sense, like it was destroyed to rebuild in its place, because wherever they were, it was with the Shechinah. Well, it was all Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu. It was, so to speak, in the same area. It's like someone in the car. Although he started off in Georgia and he ended in Los Angeles, he started in the car and he ends in the car. And they were always, so to speak, al-pi Hashem Yachnu. So therefore, that was considered to rebuilding in the same place where they deconstructed. And therefore, it's not a problem. The Malach of Soysi is only if you're going to rebuild it in the same place. That's one opinion, the explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara brings another Amor that argues, Rabbi Yechon Amor lo'ilam krib Shimon. Really, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is that he holds like Rib Shimon. And therefore, the question is, Mishnah Psila. So then why is a person liable for the case of Psila if it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa? Reb Shimon holds any malacha that's not necessary for itself. The only way you could have extinguishing to be chayiv, according to Reb Shimon, is if you want to make it into a charcoal or into a good wick, that it's being singed. So therefore, here, why are you being chayiv? Again, it's just to, so to speak, preserve the wick or preserve the oil. Why are you chayiv over there? And the Gemara says, Kedam Rav Amnuna, V'yitem Rav Ad Rahava, some say it was Rav Ad Rahava said it, that Hacha B'psila Shetzarach L'Havaskin, here we're talking about a wick that you have to singe it. In other words, we're making it and turning it into a wick. It wasn't good, it's not lit well, it's like a piece of cotton that you have to first turn it into a wick. It has to be singed first so that it can light well. That's why the person is extinguishing it. And that is, the Bahia Afil Rav Shimon, even there Rav Shimon would agree, to come a second month, because there you're fixing the utensil, you're creating it into a wick. That's not considered a malacha shein tzrich legufa. That is, although Reb Shimon says a person is exempt when he does a malacha shein tzrich legufa, However, the case of when he's, so to speak, to preserve the wick, the reason why you're chayiv is because he has to singe it. That is because it was not singed, it was not burnt from before Shabbos. So therefore, that extinguishing is tzarich l'gufoy, so that now the flame could be able to grab hold of the wick very well when you're going to go light it next time. So Amar Rava Deken Nami, Rava says that it's more meticulous and it makes more sense that the Mishnah is like we just said this explanation. Diktani shu oisipacham, because we said that Rabbi Yisi said the reason why you're liable by the case of the wick is because you're turning it into a charcoal. You're turning it into something that's charred, something that could be lit up very well. For like Katanim Nation Nasis Pacham, we didn't say because it was already turned into charcoal. Shmami, no, that explanation is like Rabbi Yechanan and not like the first explanation that we gave in the Gemara. And that is because we're saying that he's liable because he's turning it into charcoal. That's his intention to make it now into something that's charred. That's why we see that the reason why Yochayv is like Reb Shimon, and because it's totally extinguishing. That's tzarich legufay because you have to singe it. You want to make it into a wick. But it doesn't say that because it was already turned into a pcham, into something that was singed from beforehand, that it was already burnt. That then you would be able to say that the reason is, as the first pshat in the Gemara says, that now it's fit to be rebuilt, that it's a good wick, that it's saying that there's a binyan, there's a building in the place where it was destroyed. Whereas then you could say, but the case of the oil and the candle, where you don't have binyans in the same place, that it doesn't say. It doesn't say that because it was already singed, saying because that's what he's doing now, that he's cinching it. Therefore, it makes more sense, like the second pshat in the Gemara, that the reason why Yochayv is because he holds like Reb Shimon. And that's why all the other cases you're potter, because they're all malacha shein tzrich legufa. You're not doing the extinguishing for itself, you're doing it for some other reason. However, the case of the psila, of the wick, the reason why you're chayev is because you're turning it into pacham, you're making it into a wick right now when you're extinguishing it. And therefore, that's why person's chayev, not like the first pshat in the Gemara, which was based on the fact that since it was extinguished and that it is a place where you could relight it, and that is because it was already extinguished, that's different. It shouldn't say Mneishu Oisapecham, it should say Mneisha Nasapecham, because it was already made into that, and therefore you could relight in the same place. That's why Shema Menor makes more sense, like the Pshat of Rabbi Yechanan, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Shimon.